to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Tuesday primary day. 251-343-0106. Still to come, Jerry Carl about an hour from now, and John Wall about 2 hours from now, so stick around for that. But joining us now on the line, he is running for that first congressional district nomination from the second congressional district. For the last time this campaign cycle, we are talking to Congressman Barry Moore. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, we are doing good. Good. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for coming on. We always appreciate your time. How you feeling this morning?
Well, good. Optimistic, cautiously optimistic. We've worked very hard. We're hearing great things. We've got a good ground game, a lot of grassroots support, a solid base. And so, you know, from Baldwin County, Mobile County, people have just really been, you know, sort of, I think our message resonates as being a conservative and as being the fighter. And so it just seems to us that it's going to be a good day, and hopefully people will be able to get out and vote. And we want to encourage them to go vote. You know, that's one right we need to exercise every opportunity we get so we can have a say in the direction of this nation.
Well, talk to us a little bit about, you know, you're on your way to Washington, D.C. You're not hanging out here all day for the results. Talk about that decision.
Well, I mean, we got votes, you know. We only have a two-person majority when Scalise is out, you know, with cancer on and off with his treatments. And when you just got two-vote majority, we need to be in Washington, D.C. working. So rather than staying in the district and celebrating the win tonight, we are going to D.C. to make sure that we're there to vote and represent the district. And that's our job. It's one of the few jobs that it's one of the things that people elect us to do is to engage in the fight. And so I am getting on a plane. We're working on a couple of bills for our southern border today.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Well, let's talk about the campaign itself. I mean, you can kind of feel it on the ground, the ebbs and flows. Here you are at this point, and, you know, we'll find out what happens tonight. But it's never really been, to me at least, it's never really been like you never really had the distinct front runner. It still feels like anybody can win this thing, even at this point.
Yeah, I think that it certainly is a matter of money and messaging, and there are a lot of big money coming outside this race, you know. And I think, you know, obviously Ken Griffin and the Never Trumpers poured a lot of money in against me, and so we'll see how that goes. But it does ebb and flow. But, you know, I've always told everybody that campaigning and being in races is like a roller coaster. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. But you got a target you're aiming for, and you try to make sure you peak at the right time. And it's never as good as you think it is. It's never as bad as you think it is. But you stay on message. You don't go negative. You talk about what you've done. You talk about your record. And come election day, people, especially in these primaries or informed voters, they know the truth. They see the truth. And when you've got a record to run on, that's what you do. And so, yeah, it ebbs and flows. You're right. Because it's an emotional process. And you got these ads released from time to time. And some are good, some are bad. But for us, it's been about staying on message, staying on target. And we have a good feeling. We think we're peaking at the right time.
Well, and tell me, you know, this thing went negative. You know, we kind of figured it would, but the way it did and just how, I don't know that, like, it was pretty harsh, but it was just a nonstop barrage there for the last couple of months, it seemed like. Are you surprised by that?
No, I think early on the polls showed we had a lead, and when a campaign's behind, they'll go negative. If you're ahead, you don't. You just run on your message. And so that's why I think that early on the other side went negative, because they saw that you could not run against me on my record. You're not more conservative than we are. I mean, CPAC rated us the most conservative dependable vote. I was the first guy in the nation to endorse Trump. I was the most effective Republican from Alabama in the 117th Congress. So you take that, and that's your record, and you run on that. But if the other team can't run on a record, what do? They go negative, especially when they're behind. And so every legitimate poll that we saw had us in the lead along the way. And granted, they poured, you know, quite about, I think, $1 million in dragging us through the mud. I don't know the exact figures, but it'll be over $1 million when it's said and done. And so, you know, you just have to stay on message. You have to finish well. And sure, it ebbs and flows. But I think the way we've handled ourselves, we finish well either way with our integrity intact.
Any surprises to you, like, that you went into this and you know it's going to be contentious? But were you surprised by anything that happened along the way?
Yeah, I think the amount of Oppo research, I think the negativity was shocking. We were told that they were doing opposition research and digging up mud, trying to figure out how they could hit me because my record, like I said, was pretty solid. It's like Margaret Thatcher said, when they attack you personally, it means they've not a single political argument left. So I think I'm shocked a little bit, Jeff, at how negative. I mean, I try to you'll never see anything paid for by Barrymore for Congress attacking my opponent. I just don't do that. And so I think the level at which they went and how they went negative and the personal attacks and attacking my family, that's kind of stuff that just to me shouldn't be a part of this process. We really need people to vote based on your record, and that's what we should message on. And so I am shocked at how negative they went. But listen, man, I had a law enforcement guy call me early on before I had even really gotten going in the race and said, hey, they want to know if the police have ever been called out to your house. And kind of find out my son, when he was little, lost Heather and dialed 911 one time. So, I mean, that's how crazy this got. And that's how deep some of these D.C. swamp creatures dig to try to find and sling mud on the conservative people, the people who are stopped, trying to stop the runaway spending, trying to hold the line for America. And so we get attacked. Trump gets attacked for taxes. He gets attacked personally. I mean, it is what the swamp does. They attack you for selling real estate, whatever it is. It's the same old game. I wish they'd bring some new information or maybe a new message to town. But, look, we're no different than President Trump. And while I'm saying that, I want everybody to go vote today. He ought to thump Nikki Haley in Alabama and we ought to send a loud message.
Let me ask you something. Let's go back to 2020, and I didn't see it coming. You had a big win over Jeff Coleman. When you were in that same spot at about this time of day, I mean, you looked, everybody around the state was kind of talking about how you were going to, like, pull it off, and, you know, and that you kind of rallied there, and it was that weird primary or runoff, if you would, because they had to postpone it from COVID. And then you guys kind of like really hit the ground in parts of the district, I think, that were kind of underserved a little bit in that campaign. But you sit here today, and I don't know what your expectations are, but based on your polling, I mean, like, to me, like, the Barrymore phenomenon, if you will, in that election, you won big. Did going into that, did you expect to do as well as you did? And could you maybe think that could apply to this, to today?
You know, all I know, Jeff, and this is just Barry speaking from the heart, is, you know, the Lord has called me in a certain fight at time, and sometimes his ways are not our ways. And so, but I have always thought of Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And so I walk that next step of obedience. And when I do that, the result lays in his hands. It's not my will, but his will. And so, yeah, I mean, I was shocked at how big we won in 2020. I can tell you, nobody expected us to go from having 20%, we got 98% of the votes on the table after the primary going into the runoff. And so, but it was, again, grassroots. People believed in what we were saying. And one thing they'll tell you about me is I'm just authentic. What you see is what you get. It's not different behind the scenes. It is who I am. And so I think people appreciate that. They may not always appreciate the truth necessarily, but I've always been told if you tell people a lie, it's for your own good. If you tell them the truth, it's for their good. And so I try to tell people the truth. And, you know, that ain't always easy in politics, and it's not always popular, but it's the right thing for the nation. It's the right thing for me and my convictions, and that's how I'm going to approach this. And good Lord be willing, we'll have a win today, you know?
Well, but the reason I brought that up, that maybe you underpoll, you know, maybe your supporters aren't going to respond to a media poll. You know, I don't know, like, what's going on there necessarily, but when you put pen to paper, when you actually put out the vote, it seems like, Congressman, you tend to underpoll and outperform the polls.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's true mostly with you. We hear that all the time, House Freedom Caucus guys. Some of the polling I'm behind, they end up winning because a lot of the real conservatives, and especially people who are going to vote, they don't always answer those polls. They don't click those links. And most of the behind-the-scenes polling, we had us in the lead, or the rumors were we're in the lead. And so we've been hearing that along the way. That'll explain the negativity, I think, that you've seen from the other side. But, yeah, we always tend to outperform. And I don't think real conservatives don't – a lot of us don't trust the government. A lot of people won't click a link on the phone. But, by golly, they'll go marking a spot on a ballot. And so I think that's why we always outperform.
We're joined by Congressman Barry Moore from the 2nd Congressional District, running for that 1st Congressional District nod today. Well, I mean, we've hit the issues a bunch of times, but kind of talk to us about this. You know, if you haven't made up your mind yet, There's some still voters are tuning in. I mean, what do you say to them? What do you say to them to get them to come your way?
What I say is just check the record. I mean, my Heritage score is a 100. My Liberty score is a 96. I am the most conservative guy in Alabama, but also I think we have proven, Jeff, with the 4,307 cases that we resolved for veterans, we won awards, democracy awards for accessibility and transparency. And so I think that a lot of people may call us a show horse, so they may say he just talks the talk. But in reality, if you look at the record, we're the ones walking the walk. We do the constituent services. We win the awards. And we're also the most conservative. So I'm very proud of the fact that we can run as a conservative and be the most effective guy from Alabama in the Republican Party. And so, you know, that's the win. And it's for the people. It's the wins I get. I was eating dinner the other night at a little restaurant in Enterprise, and an old guy walked up to me and said, he said, "Hey, Barry, I've been waiting on my hearing aid since the war." And I said, "What war?" He said, "The Vietnam War." I said, "Really?" He said, "I called your office. I had them in 2 weeks." And so those are the wins we get, Jeff Poore, in the district. You know, those are the things that the people know we've been in the fight for them. That's why we poll so well in our home district. And the people of Baldwin County, they'll see that. We'll have two offices over there. We'll have an office in Mobile. There will not be anybody ever outworked us and put people on the ground to serve the needs of the local communities any better than we have.
What did you expect going into Baldwin County? I don't know how much time you have spent over here over the years. And the same with you, the part of the district that's Mobile County. Do you find a lot of commonality there? I mean, when you're at events, when people come and talk to you, it just seems like, and we say this till we're blue in the face right now in our time in our politics, given who's in the White House, there's a lot of concern about the southern border. But, I mean, is there a lot of similarities there from what you're used to?
Well, as far as, yeah, in Baldwin County, that's going to be the big county. We need to do well in Baldwin County. And I think, honestly, man, I've been in enemy territory, so to speak, before in an area that I didn't represent, and the people may not have known me before. Certainly when I ran in 2020, you know, Autauga, Elmore County was a big area. We needed a good conservatives to turn out. Same with Baldwin County. It's a big area. We need to get conservatives to turn out. And we have been amazed at the reception in Mobile. Friends and family over there that have come to work for us, waving signs, showing up, knocking doors. Same in Baldwin County, that conservative base. So I am actually, I tell you, I feel as home over there as I do in my own Coffee County area, because it's just like there are people who understand the priority is to save the nation. You know, that is the issue. And we're all like-minded in conservative thoughts and limiting government and securing the border and making sure we keep our money here and spend it on America first issues and the American people. And certainly I think that resonates no matter where you're from. Again, I had 16 counties in this district I'm in right now, 7 of the 9 new counties we already represent. So I think that we have proven that we can match up, but there are many people who are stepping back and saying it's bigger than just me. It's bigger than just a certain locale within a state or even a state within the union. It's about the preservation of this republic. And so I think people step back, and now we're starting to see the big picture. I mean, you just see it in these communities where the invasion's happening. People are waking up going, it doesn't matter if I've got, you know, a local issue resolved. If our nation is not secure, then none of us are safe. And so I think it resonates regardless of where we go, and our message resonates, and being a true conservative in a red state within a very conservative district. I think that we've been well received, and I'm pleased with that.
We're winding it down here, Congressman, but one of the things brought up, you would argue it is a positive, but the decision where, like, your House Freedom Caucus membership allegiance versus not being in that, and that's one of the key distinctions between you and your opponent. Speak on that. Why House Freedom Caucus? Why tie yourself to that? Why is that important to you?
Because I understand, having been in the system, and people may not realize it if you're not in D.C., but you know, you have people who say they're Republicans, and there's never anybody that runs in Alabama that doesn't say they're a conservative Republican. But when you get to Washington, D.C., they get sucked into that uniparty system of the big spending, the big K Street donors, the big lobbyists. And there are those of us in the House Freedom Caucus who are there to try to put downward pressure to limit government, to make sure we protect your liberty and to protect your rights. And so we don't go along to get along every time. And I think that in the big picture, I said this in the debate, If, in fact, this nation is saved, it'll be the 40 people in the House Freedom Caucus who are not beholden to K Street. They're not beholden to leadership. They truly are the populist candidates. They are the people that represent those who shut Bud Light down, who want to make sure that the border's secure, but also that we just don't keep printing money in D.C. because that quantitative easing, that printing of just paper and ink, so we don't have to ever say no to any little local project. Brother, when we send that money out, it's different because we printed it in D.C. And that dollar that you work for in your wallet, we just replaced it with one in D.C. so we cut its buying power in half. And so we have to put downward pressure on spending, and the system hates that. That's why we're $34 trillion in debt, and that's why the debt's going up $83,000 a second, is because no politicians are willing to look at the system and say no. Look at the voters and say, hold on a minute, let's get our house in order so we can move forward and save this nation. The short-term printing of money and spending of money to buy votes is going to certainly cause long-term harm in this country, and so we have to get a handle on that. We have to say no sometime, and we have to do that to our children. We have to do it to our country. We have to say, even to my own self, once sometime, we have to say, no, man, we got a bigger issue here, and it's to get this spending under control and save this nation.
Congressman, we got to leave it there. Best of luck to you today, and maybe we'll talk again soon. Either way, let's talk again soon. Thanks for making time for us.
For sure, Jeff. Thank you for having me on. You take care, and look forward to speaking to you soon.
All right. That was Congressman Barry Moore there. We got to get a break in here. We will return. 251-343-0106. Text me. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Happy, no sorrow.